You can be seated. As you're seated, I also thank the praise team. Wish you guys would put some spirit and emotion into it, but well done. Yeah, that was nicely done. Yeah, appreciate that very much. So it's my privilege to introduce our preacher for the day, Dr. David Hardage. Dr. Hardage received his undergraduate degree from Baylor University, his master's degree, his MDiv, from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and then his doctorate from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He served as a pastor in a variety of churches in Texas and Oklahoma, including a 14-year tenure at First Baptist Church in Sulphur Springs, Texas. The Texas churches are the ones that matter, and so I thought I would bring those up first. Not that the others don't, but, you know, to us, that's how it goes. Dr. Hardage then also served as the director of the Waco Baptist Association, the association of churches that serve a community or an area. So down in Waco for a few years. He's also been the director of the Truett Seminary's development wing, which is the fundraising for Truett Seminary down at Baylor University as well. And has for the last 10 and a half years served as the executive director of the Baptist General Convention of Texas. He has two kids who are grown now and out. They both live in Dallas. One of them's an attorney and the other works for Guidestone here in town. Just great family, great, great guy. He also, and you'll be able to tell this by when he comes up and then you realize how fat I was when he was standing up here, runs on a regular basis, almost every weekend runs for some cause, does a 5K or something like that. And I've seen him running out at White Rock Lake quite a few times. So he lives not too far from White Rock Lake and goes around it on a regular basis. So everything about this guy I love. I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years. Dr. Jimmy Draper, who was our interim president before I became president, if y'all remember when he was here, for those of you who are staff and faculty, and for those of you who don't, you know, he's a landmark in Southern Baptist life for a lot of years. He was the first person who said to me, this was almost 10 years ago, he said, hey, I had lunch today with Dr. David Hardage. He was serving as our interim president at the time, 9 years ago. And he had met with Dr. Hardage just because he wanted to create a better relationship between Criswell College and Dr. Hardage, knowing the leadership that he would bring to the BGCT, to Texas Baptists, as they now call themselves most often. And so he had a great visit with him. And then I got to meet Dr. Hardage not too long ago, and I think we had a great visit, and we've had lunch together a few times and talked and met with some others, and he is a brother in the faith and is committed to the Lord and committed in his life to the Lord. And he's approaching retirement now. So he's made public his announcement that he's retiring from the BGCT, but also going to continue to serve in ministry in some way. We'll see what the Lord opens up for him. So I want you to join me in welcoming my friend, Dr. David Hardage, to come and speak to us today. Amen.
Hey, thank you so much. You know, truly an honor for me to be here. And just want to say thank you, Mr. President, for the kind and gracious invitation and introduction. Thank you. I'm just honored to be here. And there was a time when this wouldn't have happened. I'll just be upfront about that. And that was a sad day. This is a good day. And so, grateful for it. I need to begin with a couple of kind of transparent confessions. So one, I don't think I have what you might call a real sermon today. Back when I was a pastor, every now and then someone would come out of the church. You know, I was one of those kind of pastors that would stand at the back of the door, at back of the church, the door when people would leave and shake everybody's hand. And every now and then somebody would come by and say these encouraging words. Well, preacher, that was a nice little talk today. You pour your heart and soul into preparing a sermon and somebody says, well, that was a nice little talk. I say that to tell you, I think maybe what I have for you today is just a little talk. Secondly, I am not a Bible scholar. My brothers say that I'm educated beyond my intelligence. So there may be some truth to that. Now, you have Bible scholars here at Criswell, and praise God for them. I'm not one of those. I am a Bible reader. So, 1989, I was a pastor. And I really got under conviction that I had never read the Bible all the way through. You know, from Genesis to maps, I had just never read it all the way through. So I went and got one of those one-year Bibles. And have you seen those in bookstores? You know, if you get one, every day you read a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, a psalm, and just a little bit of the Proverbs. If you do that every day, by the time you get to the end of the year, you've read the Bible all the way through. So I started on January the 1st of 1990. And I'm now on my 32nd year in a row of reading the Bible all the way through every year. So when I say I'm not a Bible scholar, now I mean that, but I also mean it when I say I am a Bible reader. Now, in my reading the Bible, there's a phrase that in the Old Testament has captured my attention over and over, time after time when I read it, and year after year when I read it, and I've just been contemplating, praying about, thinking about, what does that mean? And so the depth of my conclusion is, I'm not sure. But I have a couple of thoughts that I'm going to share with you that I wish someone had shared with me when I was sitting in your chair. So that's what today's about. A little talk about something I wish somebody had told me. So what I want to start with is just the phrase and the verse. Now it's used many times, but the one I'm going to read is in Proverbs chapter 4. If you got your Bible, great. If not, you got a phone. If not, don't worry, I brought my Bible. Proverbs 4, verse 27. It's just a simple little phrase, but listen to what it says. The writer of Proverbs says, "Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." Now, the phrase I want to just spend a few minutes on, what does that mean, is that phrase, "Do not turn to the right or to the left." Now, I'm going to leave it up to you to contemplate for yourself and pray through for yourself and study for your own what you think that means, but here's a couple of thoughts from me for today. I think it really has to say something about obedience, doesn't it? If you're told, do not, in Scripture, you're told, do not do this, there's got to be a word in there about obedience. If we're told to do something, that's also a word about obedience. So let's just talk, maybe just for a minute here, about obedience. Do not turn to the right or to the left. This is about, I think, above all else, just being obedient to the voice of and the call of God in your life. So whatever it is God's calling you to do, leading you to do, directing you to do, He's gifted you to do that. You know, when you were small, you've heard the question, "Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?" That's a fine question. It's just not the right question. The right question is, what does God want you to be when you grow up? So some of you here today, God is leading you into full-time Christian ministry. If God's leading you, directing you, calling you to full-time Christian ministry on whatever that may be for you, then just be obedient to that. Prepare for that. Follow that. Do that. If God is not leading you into full-time Christian ministry, don't feel bad about that. And don't be ashamed of that. Go where God's calling you. Go where God's leading you. Be obedient to whatever that is, because whatever that is, I think He will gift you for that. Now, my wife, we've been married 42 years in December. For 30 years, she was a public school teacher. That's what she was gifted to do. But you know, we always felt like her ministry and mine were the same. She was called and gifted. She was led and directed to be a teacher for middle schoolers. Not me. I couldn't, wouldn't do that. I would be in prison today. And I would ask her, why do you do that? And her answer was always the same. They need me. God's going to take you where you're needed. Go there. Just be obedient to whatever that is. So I think there's just a word here about obedience. I wish I could go back and start over, kind of, and begin every day like I'm hoping you're going to start beginning every day. God, today, show me, direct me, lead me, direct me, and I pledge my obedience to what that is. It can be in full-time Christian ministry like I have been for, this past August, 41 years. Or it can be something completely different. I have friends who are coaches, godly Christian coaches. They are where the water hits the wheel, if you ask me, having influence on teenagers day after day in unique settings. So I just think when this says, do not turn to the right or to the left, I think this says something about obedience. So my first word to you is a spirit of obedience to where God leads and directs. Do that. I think there's also something here about focus. Do not turn to the right, do not turn to the left. Just a couple of verses over, it says, keep your eyes straight ahead. Focus. Let me just talk about what I think that might mean to just stay focused. Here's how I'm going to come at it. Over in 1 Peter 5:8, Peter writes and says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour, destroy. So you just read through that, and you're like, I just read that. And so I ask the question, how? If my spiritual adversary really is trying to destroy me, my life, my ministry, my family, whatever that is, how's he going to do that? How? So I think one of the ways is distraction. Get me distracted from what I'm called to do, from whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing. Get me distracted from that, and I will not be effective. I will not be efficient doing that. Just get me distracted from it. I think there's a lot of ways that he destroys our life, our ministry, our family, a lot of ways. I think one of them, though, is get us distracted. So here's my humble yet accurate opinion. I don't know that Baptists have ever been more distracted than they are in 2022. And I'm going to make up a word here. This may be a real word. I don't know. I didn't look it up. But if it's not, I'm going to make it up. I don't think we've ever been more distractible than we are today. that leads me to say social media is a distracting instrument, and you best be careful with it. It can and it will get you out of focus. Baptists today, pastors today, leaders today, we are just, I think, way too distracted. So my word to you is, every day, wake up and present yourself with a spirit of obedience. Where you lead me, what are you calling me to do? Whatever that is, that's where I'm going. And God, keep me focused. There's a lot coming at you, probably more coming at you than ever came at me when I was your age. More coming at you now, more. There is just, you are being pulled and tugged in more directions than I ever was. Today, in 2022, you are being pulled here and pulled there, to the right, to the left, all, however you want to read that. And it's so easy to get distracted from what we've been called to do, and that's to make disciples in whatever avenue, whatever venue God places you. The call to be a disciple maker never leaves. So I just would urge you, keep your focus and start every day with, God, help me to be properly focused. You know, I watch 3 racehorses a year. 3 horse races a year. The Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. And I don't know why I watch them. I don't gamble. I don't bet. I don't do any of that. I just think they're kind of interesting. But you know, those horses have blinders on, so they can run the race they're supposed to run. I'm not asking for blinders, because we got to be aware. But I am asking you to stay focused. So I think there's a word here about obedience. I think there's a word here about focus. I also think there's something here, and I haven't gotten my mind completely around it yet. I'm working on that. I'm working on what that really means. But I think there's something here about being centered. Maybe I'm looking for the word balanced. Maybe I'm looking for the word stable. Steady, but there's something here about just being centered. Let me see if I can talk about what I think that means. Over in Isaiah 45, there's that potter and the wheel. You've read that before. It's where, you know, you are the potter, I am the clay. So I used to be the pastor of a church up in kind of North Texas near Wichita Falls. And one of the guys on our staff, he decided to go take a pottery class. Well, it got all over him. After about a year, he resigned and became a professional potter. So others have done what he did and what I'm about to tell you about. Others have done it, so it's not new to him particularly. It's not unique to him. But he developed this little thing he called Parables from the Potter. And so I went and watched. He made me pots and he was good. So if you've ever sat near a potter, have you ever watched them put the clay on the wheel? I mean, they slam it down on there. But you know what they're looking for? The center. Because if it's not in the center, it is not nearly moldable like it could be or like it should be. Have in your whole life, people have said, you know, if you want to be healthy, have a balanced diet. I think maybe there's something here about being healthy in ministry, healthy in work. So I know full-time ministers who lost their family because they were out of balance with the church. I can introduce you to full-time ministers who lost their church because they spent all their time at home and with the family. I'm talking about just staying steady, stable, balanced. I'm just going to go back to the word centered. You know, it took a while, but I think God finally slammed me in the middle and said, I'm going to mold you right here. And you know, I've been in a healthier place since then. All that to say, what does it mean? Do not turn to the right or to the left. I think there's something here about being stable and steady. I think there's something here about being focused. Have you ever seen magicians work? You know, they're not really magicians, but illusionists. You know, they got all kinds of ways to trick you. But you know, one of the ways they trick you? Distraction. I mean, just for a moment, if they can get your attention off of what they're doing, all of a sudden you're back and you think, what? How did they do that? Distraction. Obedience. I think there's something here about obedience. Big mistakes in my life I can trace back to disobedience. So if I were right there where you are today and I was getting started in my ministry, whatever that is, at the BGCT, every person we have hired since I have been there 10 and a half years, I've sat across the table from them and said, now it doesn't matter to me what your position is on our staff. You are in ministry here. If you're a believer in and a follower of Jesus, wherever it is you are working or serving, that's ministry. To me, you're in the ministry. And in the ministry, we've been called to obedience. In the ministry, we've got to stay focused. In the ministry, we need to stay centered, balanced, steady, and stable. I wish years ago when I was your age, I developed the discipline to stand up every day or to wake up every day and say, God, here I am, obedient to where you're leading. Keep me focused and don't let me get out of whack. I want to do a good work. Now, I still want to do good work even after I retire. But you know what? I really want you to do a good work. I hope maybe in some way this will help. Thanks for the time. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the day and just the blessings of it. I thank you for your word, and I confess there's so much I don't understand even still, but I pray, Father, that you will use what we've just talked about today and just let us think on these things and use what's there that to our benefit as we seek to serve you and to your glory as we serve you. I pray for these students. God, give them a great semester. Give them a great ministry, whatever that is. But I pray especially you keep them obedient, keep them focused, keep them steady and stable. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Hardins. I appreciate that. Yeah, if you'll have a seat, we're going to expose you to the questions of the audience if we have anybody with a question today.
Put it out there.
We've got somebody running around with a microphone today, right there. All right. So who's got the mic? Who's got our mic today? Thank you. Right back here in the middle, if you'll wave your hand. He's got a question. Look backwards. There you go. Yeah, we have to help our mic carriers.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's all good.
Just giving you a hard time. I'm going to ask a quick question, and then I'll let you go. So, super simple, quick question. When do you do your reading? You said you've read through the Bible now 32nd year or so that you're going through it. Do you do it mornings, evenings? I mean, how do you work it out? Is it variable? What happens?
Well, I hate to tell you, it's early in the morning. Early than I'm embarrassed to tell you how early it is. So it's early.
Come on, you got to tell us now.
4 o'clock. I told you. You see, my wife says I'm crazy. I wake up every day to these words, "You're crazy." But then I go do my running and stuff after
Amen.
That. So.
Amen. Okay, very good. Thank you. Go right ahead.
Thank you for being here with us today. I really enjoyed the message. My question's about, I absolutely agree that social media is something that, you know, especially even believers, we get caught up in, we get pulled into, we get distracted by. We need to be very careful about that. At the same time, we can't just completely shut it off because we have to be aware of what's going on. We have to be those voices in those conversations, even in comment threads about, you know, well, where does the church stand on this? So kind of, how do we keep that balance? How do we not get distracted by it, but also still stay connected and in the conversation?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. So I am on social media. I am. So here's my practice and my policy. This is what we tell our whole staff. When you come to work for us, this is what you're going to hear. We want to be the positive voices. We want to be the helpful voices. We don't want to be the argumentative voices. We don't want to be the negative voices. We don't want to be the critical voices. If I'm putting something out there that's not related to, you know, something personal, then I want it to be positive and helpful. Even if I don't want to get in a disagreeable kind of a place, I just want to say something positive and helpful. There's so much that's not positive and helpful, so much negative and hurtful things out there. That's where you have to be careful. For me, everybody has to find their own place on that. But for me, and it's what we tell our staff, let's be the positive, hopeful, helpful voices out there. There's not much of that, I tell you.
Amen.
Hopeful.
Amen. All right. Anybody else has a question? Get your hand up. We'll get a mic to you. I'm going to say real quickly in your comment. Yeah, back towards the back. On your comments about social media, I was thinking, you know, the way people interact on social media sometimes, it would be similar to how we would relate to each other if the only place we had conversations was in traffic. While we were driving, you know, we drive by them as if we made our point now, and I'm going to drive on, and I don't know. Yeah, I'm not rubbing.
No, that's a good word, and I may use that, so. And I'll try to remember to give you credit for it, but I'm not going to promise. So,
but you can still give a wave and a smile.
Yeah,
something positive on the way.
You can. So, yeah, you can.
Okay, Patrick. Yes,
sir. Well, can you hear me? In a world where people constantly are accusing you of things, like look at politics, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, how would you deal as a pastor if somebody falsely accused you of something, and how would you go about handling it if they're trying to jeopardize your job or jeopardize the way in which you preach and teach the Word of God?
I didn't hear the whole question.
Something
exactly.
About
the audio is bad up here.
Oh, the audio is bad?
From where you're speaking. Would you say it again?
Yeah, I'll say it again. So in a world where people are constantly accusing you of things, like if you look at politics like Joe Biden and Donald Trump, as a pastor, how would you deal with someone if they're falsely accusing you and trying to jeopardize your job in the way in which you preach and teach the Word of God?
Yeah. So,
thank you.
I am in a position where people say things that are not, I don't like.
I people really say things about you? Say it ain't so.
And some of it I don't like. The parts that I really don't like if it's not true.
Sure.
So if I do respond, now I admit, I think I maybe have a character flaw because sometimes in the midst of some of that, I tend to just kind of go inside, and that may not be the best way to handle that. Everybody kind of has to figure out their own place. But when I do respond, again, I try to be truthful and be gracious. It is really hard sometimes to match those two, but people have said things to me that I heard, but I didn't listen to it because of the way they said it. If I'm going to say something, I want them to hear me, but I also want them to listen to what I had to say, and I don't think they can do that if I'm not gracious. And I think being gracious is almost a lost art in 2022. And I would encourage you, be the gracious people. Those who are not in the church, they'll be drawn to the gracious people, I think.
Amen. Anybody else want to ask a question while we're going? Anybody else have a hand you want to put up? Okay, if you can get the mic down here towards the front. On the way there, you know, you've had a 10 and a half year span to make some changes to the BGCT and had things in a different direction in some, or Texas Baptist. So what do you, partially that affects this question, the question that Patrick was asking, because people often associate you with previous administrations.
True,
that
were
there.
They do.
So you're welcome to address that if you want to. But mainly, I just wanted to ask, what are you hoping people will look back on in your 10 and a half year legacy and say, oh, well, this was what Dr. Hartage left us with. What are you hoping for?
I really can answer that pretty easy. I hope people will look back and say, you know, during his time as executive director, he helped get us properly focused. So we have, in the last few years, kind of come up with a third name, if I can go ahead and Texas Baptist, BGCT, but the third name we've given ourselves is GC2. So if you ever hear that, think of us, because what this stands for is the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. Everything we do, we try to make sure we're either, it's focused on making disciples or loving God and loving others. We try to, I really want us to be the group that rises above the noise, that puts all the trash to the side and really gets back to mission and ministry. Let's be the people who love God, who love others, and who are serious about making disciples. GC2, that's kind of on everything we do now. If I can be remembered for anything, I hope that carries on. I hope that's it.
All right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Thank you for your message, Dr. Hartage. My question is, has there ever been a time where you have seen the fruit of obedience in your own life, and how has that motivated you to keep being obedient?
Sure. Taking this position was one of those, because I didn't want to. I was happy where I was. I liked where I was. I enjoyed what I was doing. And I didn't want to stop it, and I didn't want to move. But, you know, I told them on the phone, I made the mistake of praying about it. And I was just a clear sense that, I think because of what Dr. Kramer said, because of those who come before me, and because of the direction the convention had taken in those days, that somebody like me, and since the call came that me, it was my opportunity, I'll just say, to recenter the Baptist General Convention of Texas on who we really ought to be and what we should be doing, and that's loving God and loving others and making disciples. And even though I didn't want to do that, I didn't want to move, I didn't want to do any of those things. I don't even like living in Dallas. But this is where God has called me, and we found it to be the right place for us right now. And today, the Baptist General Convention of Texas is in a healthy, stable place. I'm not taking the credit for it, but I think God used me to get us in a place that's healthy and stable today with a bright future.
All right, anybody else like the mic next? Who wants it next? While you're thinking about it, you think about it if you have another question you want to ask. Let me ask you this one. A lot of guys, and this comes out of the claim about being centered, whatever word you want to put on that balance, you know, not just to the left or to the right. I want to ask an extremities question about that, but I'll come back to that in a minute. But a lot of people in their ministry, and I mean church vocational ministry, but also just people in their commitment to Christ in general, had a really hard time getting through the 2 years of COVID and through a lot of the political stuff over the last few years with their faith intact. It's sometimes just their denominational relationship, sometimes their church relationship in general, but very often deconstructing their faith entirely and not reconstructing anything in its place. Did you see this among ministers? Did you see it among other people in churches that you were at? And, you know, do you have any take on that? Is it overstated, understated?
It is not overstated, and we've seen it for 28, 29 months now, steady. People just... it really has pushed people to the edge. So it seems to me like we're living on the edge now, and some people are going over the edge. I think for me, I've been asking God, bring me back off that edge and put me on a stable place, a healthy place, so that I can pull more people off the edge. Not just pastors, church leaders, but people are just on the edge. The political environment, the tension that's there, the anxiety that's there, the COVID issue, I think the enemy's used it to drive us to the edge. And when you're on the edge, it's scary. And I just encourage people to step back off of that, get back in a stable place, get back in church, do the right things, and let God use that to fill your spirit again. But we've lost a lot of pastors. We've lost churches. We've lost a lot of people in the church who, are they coming back? I don't know. Pastors really are struggling with that. I was with a group of pastors the other day, and one of them finally said, we're about 75% of what we used to be. We finally said, all right, this is it. This is what we got. Now let's go from here. I think it's time to get to that place where this is where we are. Let's go from here.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Yes. Warning, this is one of our professors.
I am not a Bible scholar. Did I say that earlier?
No, it's not about the Bible directly. But I thought the message was really helpful. A lot of people I know who are really focused sometimes struggle with the balance or the centered aspect because they're so focused it kind of narrows them. And then the other side as well. Some people seem to live an enjoyable life that's healthy, but they aren't always the focus. Clearly, you're very disciplined with your running, with your Bible reading. How do you think through that on a personal level, not becoming so focused that you lose balance, or maybe it's just focused on the right things gains you balance? I'm just wondering, in your personal life, how do these two things come together at the same time for you?
Well, my first response, I have not always been as disciplined as I am now. And so a development of personal discipline has been really a good thing for me, both in my Bible reading and I lost 35 pounds a few years ago, and it's a longer story. It's a good one, but it's a longer story. All that to say, I think the word you use is discipline, and when I began to become more disciplined, and to your point, it's easy to get narrow-minded. I try not to do that. Here's the way we describe the Baptist Union Convention of Texas, and so I'll describe my own life this way. If life were a 10-lane highway, I don't drive in lanes 9 and 10. I don't drive in lanes 1 and 2, but there's a lot of room in lanes 3 through 8 for me, and that's kind of where we try to be. I hope that makes some sense. So I try to keep myself there, focused, but not too narrowly focused. And I would encourage all of you, start practicing a little personal discipline, and I think you'd be better. I think you'd be good for and it comes to with taking time away, doing all those kind of things. But I used to not be nearly as disciplined as I am now. It's been better for me. I hope that took a shot at it.
Amen. We are, and for those of you who are not aware of this, we have occupied two completely different spheres of influence for quite a few years, like ne'er the twain shall meet. Just frankly embarrassing to me and something I've repented of and realized was wrong on my part, that I just created a lot of division that didn't need to be there. So I just want to say in front of you guys, for Dr. Hartage even to allow me in the room was a huge risk on his part, for the pressure he gets from people, not saying he ever gives into it, but the pressure he gets from people on one side and on the other side. He gets pressure from every side. And for him to have invited me into the room and to have welcomed the conversations that we've had was a big risk on his part, but he took it. And I've been blessed by that, and it means a lot to me, so I've been very grateful for that. And I pray that you will pray for him and for the ministry that he does and for our ministry as well, and just for the Lord to be glorified in what we do. And it would be hard to find a way to characterize what we want to do better than to say, we want to do the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We want to make disciples, and we want to love people well. And so I really appreciate your focus on that. I want you all to join me in thanking Dr. Hartage as our band comes up back up to close us in a song.
Right, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, just one more thing. December the 11th, I think it is. You have your phone, you can check your calendar. But Sunday, December the 11th, running right past here will be myself and a few thousand other people for the Dallas Marathon, the Dallas Half Marathon. Last year, you all had a tent set up out here with some of your students, and you're about 2 miles from the end right here. You're never in more need of encouragement than right here. I would just like to ask you all, be out there again with a positive voice for those of us who are struggling those last 2 miles. Be out there for us. You make a difference. I just want to say thank you for it.
Amen. Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate it. Amen. Yeah, come on.